This is an LACTO Forum production.
Welcome to Exception Handlers, the podcast where CTOs debug the challenges that keep us up at night. I'm Alex.
And I'm Bill.
And on today's episode, we have a very special set of guests, a real treat for our listeners, I think. We're joined today by Oded Noy and Tony Carr, the co-founders of the LACTO Forum. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you.
Great to be here.
Before you introduce yourselves properly, I just want to let the listeners know the reason why you're on the show today is because this year happens to be the 25th anniversary of the LACTO Forum. And we thought it'd be really interesting to talk to you guys about how it all began and where it's all going. But before that, do you guys want to just quickly introduce yourselves? Tony, you want to start?
Sure. Hey, Tony Carr, longtime CTO, been the CTO of about 20 different companies at this point now because I've started doing fractional CTO work in the late 90s during the dot-com boom. The one that everybody knows is eHarmony. I was the CTO there for its first 4 years, got it to $110 million round. I've also started two companies as well myself, I have fun all day, every day right now with AI, both building software enabled by AI and building software using AI. So just having a great time. It's a wonderful time to be a CTO.
Indeed. Oded. Thank you for that. And Oded?
Oded Noy came to LA in 91, I guess. Always had a vibe of what it's like being a part of and participating in a community. And as a result, always felt like the technologists in LA need to have a stronger community. I was fortunate enough to be part of a founding team at TrueCar that eventually went public. And along the way, had a reason to bring the community together in a way that is different in LA than any other location, because we're all in our cars, we all want to be together, and here we are 25 years later, and it's exciting to see how this community grew over the years.
Awesome. And we will get into a lot of that as we go. But before we get into it, I just wanted to set some context for the listeners about what 2001 was like when the forum began, from a technology perspective mostly. But I think it's informative to understand the larger context for this. So 2001, we're shortly after the dot-com crash. The NASDAQ famously went down 78% or so from its 2000 peaks. And, you know, beds.com folded and all kinds of other stuff happened.
Which, to put it in context, at the time, top of the NASDAQ was 5,000 and it went down to 3,000. I think we're at like 19 now or whatever.
Yeah, it was a bloodbath. And then I think it's also interesting to think about like what the technology was like. You know, Java was kind of the serious enterprise choice. PHP was a thing that you wanted to build stuff on if you weren't that serious. There was no cloud. You know, Internet Explorer 6 was about to launch and tortured developers for the next decade of that. The iPod launched in October of 2001. The BlackBerry was the device in terms of mobile. Camera phones were a thing in Japan, but not yet in the Americas. We were still using Razors and Nokias. Google was 3 years old. Amazon was a bookstore still, losing crazy money and barely trying to survive. There was no social media. Friendster didn't start until 2002. Wikipedia launched in January of 2001. And just kind of completing that story, the CTOs themselves, right? It was a lot of people who were basically veterans of the dot-com carnage. Some survived, some went down with the ship. And, you know, offshoring was kind of a big thing that they were grappling with. Agile was just barely starting. The manifesto came out in February of that year. So it was a fascinating time to start something like the LACTO Forum. How did that happen?
We got invited, and some of the members that are still members today were part of that group. At the time, the magazine that was like the prevalent magazine was InfoWorld, I think it was called.
Oh, yeah.
And InfoWorld set up a conference for CTOs, the kind of the first of its kind. So we went to the first one. I think it was 2000. It was there was two of them. The decision to start CTO Forum happened on the second one. So we went to the first one, and I remember a meeting with the guy that was wanted to be the head of content that eventually became the CEO of Etsy after a while, that started talking to the various CTOs that were more community inclined to maybe we should start something and maybe we should have groups around the country and stuff like that. And well, that's interesting. It didn't really go anywhere. And the next year we went, the second year, and I only went twice, we kind of said, okay, we really need to do something. And part of the conviction to start it was the InfoWorld was willing to really help us in a lot of different things. So they didn't really put it on a magazine or anything. And I you can probably look for the original magazines, but I don't think it was ever there. But they kind of helped with ideation. They helped talk about what that would be. They talked about what's important about it. And they had this vision where you have CTO forums everywhere around the country. But I think we're the really first one who really kind of picked up and ran, because at the time it was not in vogue. I think we're one of the first ones. I'm sure we're not the first one, but one of the first ones. I guess there was another one in New York, by the way. That one, we kind of started more or less at the same time. And that group had a very different model than us because of the nature of LA versus New York, but that's where it started.
And I have a slightly different origin story than Oded's. It overlaps, but it's kind of a Venn diagram. So Oded and I think we met through a CEO forum group called ABL a few years ahead of the LA CTO forum.
That's true, actually.
And we would get together monthly in a roundtable and discuss issues we were having with our businesses. And Oded had his software company he was CEO of at the time, and I had a company as well. And it was great for me to learn from fellow CEOs. Although I will say it, after a while you got to know everybody and it didn't feel as quite as useful. But Oded and I both kind of got together and were like, man, this would be interesting to do with CTOs. And there was kind of a, sort of an intersection of that concept with the info world concept. And so when we first started meeting, we were doing it pure forum. You sit around at a table. We still do that today, quarterly, where we get the CTOs together and everybody's got the issues they want to raise and we talk about them around the table. And so that also was kind of a big precursor for us getting going, because if you're trying to get a speaker in, you know, and you had 10, 12 attendees, a little tougher to interest the speaker back then when we were a much smaller group. So speakers came a little later, but that knowing how valuable that forum was really was a big push for us to get this going.
So actually, I was going to ask you about this, and I'm glad you bring this up. So I'm really curious, what did the first few meetings look like? And you mentioned some of that, but I'm also wondering how many people were actually attending. And really interestingly, at what point did you realize this thing has legs and it's actually going to go the distance? Was it like the first one? It took a while. How did that go?
The first ones were every meeting was in a different place. So the one thing that we had from very early on is we meet on Friday mornings, 8 to 10 a.m. That was true from the first meeting. Where we met changed a lot. Initially, most of the first meetings were El Segundo, South Bay kind of thing. Anywhere between, it was rare to have less than 10 people, but no more than 20. So it was like 10 to 20. Usually the same people arrived, so it became like a group. I had a very important job because I always ordered breakfast. So I would bring donuts and coffee and that was my gig. And it wasn't clear where it was going to go. I remember a couple times there was one, as you asked the question, there was one meeting that really sticks in my head, maybe because of what Tony just said, that a lot of what we did initially is what we call what keeps you up at night, which is from the ABL days, right? It's like a round table, kind of like share information from one another. And when the group is small, everybody shares. When the group gets bigger, you need to kind of do quick rounds and introductions, and the format changes. But I remember one time, I don't know if you remember, Tony, but we had two or three meetings in a row in iFilm. And it was in Hollywood somewhere. Goes to show you how much we moved around. And the CEO there came to me one time and said, "Dude, what are you doing? This is a support group. It's not a CTO group. What are you doing? This thing has no legs." I remember that like it was yesterday. And that really kind of forced us to kind of start thinking more about a permanent location, started thinking about the format more, started thinking about the having speakers speak. That's all came out of that, you know, cold water, cold water conversation. So that's kind of the, so it wasn't clear. And, you know, it's one more thing. I know Tony raised his hand. I even remember days because there were a long stretch when I was in TrueCar, when TrueCar just started. First, it was called Zag, and we did it at the Zag offices in whatever the name of the park is. And then we moved to Santa Monica, and that was like 5 years in a row where we kind of TrueCar kind of hosted them. And there were meetings where like five people would show up. So we definitely had lulls during that period of time. And you ask yourself, why am I doing this? But here we are. Tony?
Yeah, well, I will say, it's funny you mentioned that. So I actually, I've had that experience many times when I'm moderating the forum group. We sit around, we call it a round table, and people raise what's keeping me up at night and get feedback on it. And, you know, back when we were doing it in person, it was very common for somebody to lean over and say, "Is this therapy or is this like a professional group?" And honestly, there is a big part of the value proposition is the, I'll call it therapy component, meaning, am I crazy for this, right? And so hearing somebody else going through an experience and you can relate to it almost always, and you're like, wow, okay, I've experienced that too. Yeah, it's really painful. You know, you're okay. You know, we've all been there. And so it's like coming to an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, right? And you can all sympathize with the you know, group sharing stories around you. And sometimes you just need that as a professional, because you can read all you want out there, and now you've got AI to help point you in a direction, it still has high value to just talk to people who've been there, done that, and can provide you advice on it, just so you know, I'm not crazy. This is a real problem. It's like, you know, it's affected other people. And so there is definitely a sort of therapy component to it, a feeling of community among peers. And by the way, when you're a CEO, you have no peers in your group, and it's really tough to share. Same thing is true kind of as a CTO. You can't share a lot of the stuff with your group. You can't share it with your peers. You can't share it with your CEO. You certainly can't share it with the board. And so it's like, yeah, who do I share my challenges with here in my role? And so I don't want to undersell the value of the therapy component to it, even though probably most CTOs would poo-poo that idea, like as Odette said, would say that was a splash of cold water, but it actually does have value.
So along those lines, clearly it's evolved over time. And so let's use COVID as a stopping point, because pre and post COVID are different universes. But from that time period back then to a much larger organization that, for the most part, is more technically focused. We all do still have our technical Prozac moments, which I personally enjoy. But was there something specific that either you found surprising or was intentional that you did to help grow it? Or was it just word of mouth over time? Did you introduce other topics or things that you found that were particularly resonating?
Well, I think ebbs and flows of marketing is sort of separate from the introducing different topics. So we did over time add speakers into the mix and became like, I think it was alternating roundtable speaker, although you weren't guaranteed it would be every other month. And then, you know, as we got more and more people showing up, we'd have, you know, 70, 90 people in person in Santa Monica when we're being hosted by Cornerstone On Demand. And this is pre-COVID days. And so, you know, made a lot of sense to have speakers come in. And so from a content topics thing, that's evergreen. You know, it's like, it's whatever the most pressing challenges are, both from business and technical side. And so that really hasn't changed. I would say we have a core group of board members, actually all of us on this podcast are board members. And sometimes we'll push harder on marketing out to, you know, CTOs. And other times we just sort of sit back and whatever random inbound things, you know, come along, that's what we get. So we've always been volunteer run. We always have relied on sponsorship dollars and maybe pays, you know, people might pay entrance fee on a particular event. And so it's certainly ebbed and flowed based on the people involved and how aggressive they were going to be about, you know, marketing out to new members. I would say the average CTO in LA still doesn't know about the LA CTO Forum.
Which is a shame and something we have to change.
Yes, it is.
To follow up on that, it's really interesting to understand how it's grown. But I also am curious, like in the early days, how did people find out about the CTO Forum? I mean, obviously, before the marketing, before the sponsorships, how did anyone know that there was even a thing like this?
All word of mouth, all of it. And from that perspective also, the audience grew little by little. So we had, I described the times where I was hosting it out of True Car in Santa Monica. There were times where like constantly like 10, 11 people, and then it started growing and then to the point where there wasn't enough room because it was more than 18 and couldn't stand it anymore. The room could not stand it anymore. And then there we started also refining, like we had more kind of outreaching topics that brought in a larger audience. We had career paths, we had intellectual property, we had like different, the cloud started kind of forming. So we had people who talked about the cloud. So topics became bigger. And then the big inflection point, location, 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 when we standardized in Cornerstone On Demand, and there was always a breakfast and parking was paid for and the location was known and it became a lot easier. And then people started asking, hey, can I have somebody to join me as an audience member? And we always generally said yes. Sometimes we said no because of various reasons. And then it kind of started growing from there. The room could easily afford like 40 people. So it grew up to capacity. We very frequently had a room full.
Well, they got us into the bigger rooms too. And we was 70, 80 people in there. And Cornerstone was awesome to us. So thank you, Adam Miller, recent mayoral candidate, and also Mark Golden. And Cornerstone's a big success story here in Los Angeles. And so it was very nice that they were so good to us for so many years.
Agree to that.
Yeah, and I remember.
Thing, just a second. One more thing that started changing is initially it was like there was no real structure to the whole thing, but this is where the idea of a board, we didn't have an official board until post-COVID, but this is where Tony and David and Trav, and this is where some membership really started to pick up and spend a lot more time on it and not just show up every other Friday and hope that something happens. Those are the years where we really started making time on it. Wrangling, I mean, Tony is famous for running the wrangling team. Congratulations, Tony. That was a long gig there you did. And I think a lot of it was attribute to the success is having good speakers and engagement. It took effort.
Yeah, and I remember I came on board about the time that things were really structured. And so as a new person walking into that in the CTO space, I felt like there was a ton of expertise in the room. But shifting gears slightly, the dun-dun-dun COVID era happened, which kind of blew up all personal contact, which was, in my experience, a very huge part of you know, the overall experience. How have you been able to address that, and how are things looking in terms of, is there a move to try and go back to it? Is it changing the dynamics forever? You know, What are your thoughts on this, given the fact that a lot of the early days were based upon physical proximity and the growing from that direction, and now it's digital proximity?
First off, it's been, I remember plenty of times I have this mental image of sitting in a car or sitting at home and talking to the board. And there were plenty of times I thought the form is not going to survive this transition to digital. It was so based on the physical meeting of being in the same room together. Also, to give you context, the meeting usually ended up at 10 a.m. on a Friday, and it started at 8, and most people were there on time, and most people stayed at least an hour after it was over. It was like a gathering, not because it was a social smoothing event, but just because you got good advice. And all of that disappeared. It was hard. Did it change us forever? Definitely. Can it go back to where we were? We actually discussed it a lot. The couple of times we tried, that's where we started moving into the 3 or 4 times a year to do an evening event, to have some of that. I don't think the morning event is going to come back in the format we had. Part of it is having a host that is as sturdy and standard as what we had there, but that's not the only reason. But yeah, changed forever. Tony?
Yeah, forever's a long time. So we'll see. However, all in-person networking events have been greatly impacted by COVID and have struggled to return to the form. We're no exception. I think part of that is, it looks like all of us are in home offices right now, right? And so if you were already going into Santa Monica to go work, then dragging you in on a Friday morning might not be all that hard to do. If I'm trying to drag you out of your home on a Friday morning to get you to come into Santa Monica, that seems insane. And same thing's true in an evening event. Trying to get somebody to leave their home to go out to a networking event versus come from work to the networking event, possibly leaving work a little earlier than they normally would, and then you do the evening event. It's like it's much, much harder to get people in person into a room, and we're used to working at home. That said, even the morning meetings, though, over Zoom, they kind of have ebbed and flowed. And so we've got a little bit more attendance recently because we're doing a lot of AI-related topics. And I'm also cross-promoting it a little bit more with a CTO list that I had through a prior company. We are getting more folks in the room, but, you know, it's definitely still down. But that's true across the board. You look at, hey, what networking events am I going to in Los Angeles? And so prior to COVID, all the way back to the dot-com boom, there was, two, three, pretty large networking events every week. And now it's hard to find a good one. So it's definitely, things have changed for in-person.
So if that's okay, guys, I'm going to ask myself my own question and answer it, if you don't mind me doing that. So if that's the case, 25 years later, why the hell are you still working on this, right? Because this is like, I can't remember the last time that a week went by that I didn't do something for the CTO forum, literally. I mean that. And the answer is, thank you for asking a question. Great question. Thank you. the answer is because there's something really true about technologists engaged in supporting other technologists and sharing openly, voluntarily, and full of heart information one the other and supporting each other in the journey that we're on. And that is increasingly going to be true in the age of AI as well, right? Where our jobs become lonelier to some degree. We talked about that earlier, that the job description of what's product and what's engineering is completely blurring at this point. All of those things that the on one hand, the CEOs don't want to talk about AI, and then everything needs to be AI first, and why are you not doing 100% of your code with AI, and things that are kind of, the pendulum swings are kind of, they hit you in the face all the time. The idea of having a vibrant, proactive, supportive community of professionals seems like the right thing to do. And when it's the right thing to do, it has surviving power somehow. And you just keep doing it because you're making, every once in a while somebody come up to me or to Tony and say how much it made the difference and something that they learned here was really important in their lives. And that's all the fuel you need, really.
Well, actually, I was going to ask about that exact thing. So you've had this 25 years of incredible impact on the larger CTO community in LA and beyond, right? Part of the thing with COVID is you can't have it in person because a lot of people are no longer in LA, but they're still part of the forum. It just kind of dispersed nationally. What are some of the more maybe notable, prouder moments that you've experienced dealing with the forum, whether it's somebody saying, I found a great job, or I made this amazing connection, or I learned this incredible thing, or I whatever it is. Anything come to mind?
I think Oded just said what my answer is. It's well, I get a lot of value for myself, and I will plan topics that I need help on. And I just hope that I can get them planned and scheduled in time for it to help me on whatever thing I'm facing at that point. But, you know, Friday's topic, we're recording on a Wednesday, and, you know, a day and a half from right now, we'll be covering agentic coding in practice. So three CTOs taking us through what their specific process looks like today, right? And there's some commonality and some differences and things like that. And that's like something that I absolutely want to see. And so I'm excited about that. It's going to provide me a ton of value. And what I really like is when somebody afterwards sends me a note and says, oh my gosh, that was awesome. Didn't know what to expect coming in. Really valuable. And so it's like, okay, great. I got a ton of value and hopefully they did too. So that's the thing that kind of keeps me going on it.
You know, if you do a training course and you train a lot of people, you have a semester and every once in a while you'll have a student that comes to you, oh my God, this really made a difference in my life. While that happens sometimes in CTO forum, what happens more often to me when members say it's the fact that it's year after year and you continuously get value and remain current. There's something about the community and the tenacity of the community that creates value over time that is really hard to replicate anywhere else. And if dozens and dozens of memories of people say, oh my God, the fact that this happened or that happened, or I learned a lot from at the time about the cloud, and then when you guys talked about the AI when it was early, or these kind of things. But more importantly, it's the fact that it really is a kind of a chaperone in your career, and you see it as something that you continuously do. I mean, even if I look at you guys, right, it's like you've been here for a long time, and I remember the first time Mark brought you, Alex. It's like, you know, it's things morph over time and they kind of shape, and it helps you shape through that. And if there's one big regret I have about the CTO Forum is that we need to have a way of kind of renew it for the next generation. And I hope that's why we're doing these podcasts, and to reach kind of a new audience, because we don't want to grow for growing sake. That's never been the thing. But if you have something good, share it with more people is kind of the approach.
So maybe to that point, I actually, you know, you bring this up. Where do you see this going? What, I mean, yes, bringing in younger members and kind of continuing this amazing community we've created and you guys have founded. What, anything, can you flesh that out a little bit? What else, how else are you thinking about kind of where the forum is headed?
My thought about this is back to the age of AI is going to shape all of this in a way that COVID shaped what we look at as an organization. The age of AI is going to really shape that. The other thing that's going to shape that is the fact that the job description is going to change a lot. And from that perspective, if you look at our evening events, it's not too surprising that many of them now, at least maybe half of them, are co-sponsored with another group. I think that's not accidental at all. I think the interests are converging. I think the communities are converging. The job description is converging. So I think defining things in rigid forms is going to be articulate less. And not in terms of support groups psychologically, but this age of abundant intelligence, where theoretically coding is no longer a verb, it's a noun, that's something that the LLM do, changes so much so quickly that absorbing that as a community is something that it takes a community to do. not one individual going into a corner and solving that. Like even, Alex, if I think about my highlights, right? The fact that you're working on whatever you're working on with LLM and you call me and you pitch me for half an hour so excitedly about what you're working on, that makes my day.
Yeah, well, you know, Bill and I frequently talk about this topic and, you know, pretty much every episode we do has some aspect of this. We're living through the age of first principles, meaning everything you have been doing that you think is a good idea, because of AI, you have to come back to why was this a good idea? And is it still a good idea? And what should be happening instead? And like having the forum as a place to sound out your thoughts, but also even to hear other people say, you know, this one thing over here that we all sort of take for granted as a thing to do, here's five ways to think through that and think. I think, Tony, of the thing we did with Agile, the SDLC and stuff, right? Like, here's four perspectives on what we all took for granted as the way to do software. You just don't get that anywhere else. It's a kind of an amazing value add that you really can only get from a place like the CTO Forum.
I'll take another. It's like all of us that were reasonably early on, everybody on the call is, early on kind of chaperoning the LLM, and all of a sudden in November, December last year, it got really better. And all of us experienced that as a group next to each other and share these experiences. And we all noticed the same thing, that we're all on the edge of burnout because we can do a lot more, which means we're working much longer hours. And watch out for not burning out. That kind of a lookout for one community member to another is important.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I think the other thing too about it is that with AI, we're seeing such an explosion of options for doing anything, even with AI itself. And it's not just additional tools and frameworks. It's also things such as how you address AI. You know, Claude Code didn't exist, 12 months ago, 14 months ago. And now it's very common for CLI to be a thing. And being able to talk to other people about that is huge. To find out, like, oh, it did blow up for you. Okay, good. I won't do that. But along those lines, what do you see as the biggest current obstacle for the forum to be successful going forward, given the fact that AI's kind of put us into a unique blender in terms of there's so many different options that we can follow and ways to pursue?
Easy answer from my perspective. That's two things: membership and sponsorship. More members, next generation of members, and having events that and activities that draw sponsorship that make this all possible. Those are the two things. Tony, you have a different...
Yeah, I mean, if you have the audience, that has value to the sponsors. I think there still will be demand to get in front of a high-quality audience like we have. So I think those things go hand in hand. We definitely also, though, need to be looking at, I'll call it next generation. And so Odette and I are the old folks in the room these days.
Who are you calling old?
What, I can't hear you.
Tony's the old folk in the room these days. I don't think I remember going to Odette's, I'm not sure which birthday party that was, but I think it was a big one with a zero at the end. So I won't say which one. Actually, it's funny because you guys may or may not realize this, but you're the young guys now on the board. And so you may want to start looking at who the next young guys are, right? And the key is finding people who are going to reliably get things done, which has been part of the secret of it, right? So board members, like, you really need to know that they're going to come through on the things they say they're going to come through on. And that's been kind of part of the secret to the success. And, you know, and so it's like, I do think part of the forever pattern has to be that, you know, like, the old guard is eventually going to age out and maybe we'll be emeritus status. And then, you know, the next group has to bring the next group of folks in. So really, probably the forever questions we should be asking Alex and Bill rather than Tony and Odette.
We have not deeply thought about this, but we definitely will have this conversation.
You can cut this out if
no,
you need to.
Welcome to the CTO Discord.
These are very important points. So I kind of want to end with, you guys have put so much time, energy, blood, sweat, and tears into this organization. Was it all worth it?
One thing I heard myself say more than any other thing about the CTO Forum is I can't believe how much I put into it, and I cannot explain why I got more out of it than I put in. Because it's absolutely true. Can I call one thing? I'm not sure I can do one thing. I mean, did I get a gig out of it? Arguably, yes, at some point, but that's completely beside the point. It's like, I don't look... All of the years that you ask yourself, why the hell am I doing this? You ask yourself during a lull when nothing is happening and then something big is happening and then it's like, yeah, let's go. Have not lost that yet.
So for me, definitely I've gotten more value out of it. And what I was saying before about, you know, the great feeling you get from having helped somebody, you know, learn about something. It's probably not a coincidence that I was a professor for 10 years from 1990 to 2000, and the forum started in 2001. And it's like it allowed me to have that kind of feeling of, okay, I can contribute to people, you know, learning. I'm learning myself. I'm sort of the first audience member for every session I'm in. It's like I want to learn all this stuff, and I'm going to get to ask whatever questions I need to ask. However, I am thinking about, you know, like, hey, how can I pull something together that's going to have value to everybody? And so that's part of it. So I get a lot out of this. Is it an even trade-off? Probably I might be putting more in than I get out at this point, but, you know, we'll see. I still love it. So.
That's wonderful to hear. And I'm sure I speak for, well, certainly both Bill and I, but pretty much every member of the forum, current and past, in saying thank you so much for starting this, for keeping it going for 25 years, and you know, here's to 25 or 50 more years.
Yeah,
here.
I just, if I may, not intentionally having the last word, but the CTO Forum is really a team sport. It is by a community for a community. We just happen to be at a particular point of service of that community. It's not about us. It never was. It really is by and for the community.
Hear, hear. Well, thank you again for joining us today. This is a wonderful discussion. I'm very glad you were able to make it.
It was great to be here. Thanks for the invite, guys.
Thank you.
Well, if you found the topic we covered today or topics like this one interesting or relevant to you, LA CTO Forum has lots of opportunities to engage with other CTOs on topics just like this one. If you're interested in learning more, find us on LinkedIn or on the web at lactoforum.org. And until next time, may your deployments be smooth and your tech debt manageable.
And remember, if you can't handle the exception, at least log it properly. We'll catch you next time.